Good morning, everyone. Are you all right? Are you sure? You had power this morning to make coffee, so everyone should be good. Have you had those mornings when you wake up and then you didn't keep track of the stage change and suddenly there's load shedding and you're like, I didn't make my coffee, I didn't boil the water? That's happened to me a few times. I think the stage has changed so much that you eventually stop checking. And I see now I actually got a notification saying it's dropped to stage 4. That's victory. Hey, it's something we should have, but now we're at the point where when the stage comes down, we're like, yes, thank you, Jesus, favor. Okay. Well, thank you for coming this morning. I'm definitely humbled to be here. I'm humbled to be able to share with you. I don't take this very lightly. And I feel like God wants to do something completely different. And when I was asked to share, I immediately felt God wanted me to speak about testimonies. And it was quite funny because as I felt God was giving me what he wanted me to share, then we had someone else who shared about, was it milestones? I don't know if you guys remember that. It was pretty much your testimony being a milestone, and you would put up a mantle. That's the word. You put up a mantle to remember what God is going to do. And then, of course, last week, I feel like it's really lined up with what God has laid on my heart. So I'm very excited. I'm very expectant because for me, it feels like it confirms what God wants to do. Amen. Are you guys good? Okay. Are you all awake? Do you need to have coffee quickly before I continue? Okay. Some smiling. That's all right. Okay. So obviously, I am extremely English. I do apologize about that. But I just wanted to share, I don't have any slides. I'm really sorry about that. That part of my life is gone where I have the time to put it all together. Not that I'm putting anyone down, but for me personally, my wife and I, Christy, who is hiding at the back over there, we used to run a hostel. And we also had very English children who needed to learn Afrikaans. So every night we would watch Sievertalan. And I still have that music in my head. Oh, my word. And the moment Sievertalan was playing, I would try my best to focus because, of course, I also want to learn more Afrikaans. The area where we came from was very English and Xhosa. So the moment it came on, I'd like try to focus and then there'd be subtitles. And those subtitles drove me nuts because I actually, even when they had like the odd English phrase, I wasn't paying attention. I was like reading. So I actually didn't really learn. So that's my excuse for not having slides, not laziness, if that's all right. Do I have your forgiveness? Okay. So the title of what I want to share this morning is The Power of Your Testimony. The Power of Your Testimony. So your testimony, as you guys would know, it's your story. It's what God has taken you through. I know in the beginning, a lot of people say, what is your testimony? And you would share, how did you first become a believer? What actually happened in your life? Now, for some of us, maybe you grew up in a sort of a religious household where it just started blending in. You just became a Christian at some point. For some people, it was a little bit more radical, like Saul, who had this encounter with Jesus and then changed to Paul. We all have different testimonies. And what I want to say to you is, don't down what your testimony is. And your testimony doesn't stop with just that first step of how you became a believer. Man, God slowly adds to it. As you start stepping out, he starts giving you a lot more. So I'm going to share. So I will share one of my testimonies. So I was quite fortunate to grow up in a loving, loving household. I'm very privileged to have that. And my mom was quite involved with like a youth ministry. My dad also had his time with youth ministry and was involved with children at school as well. I come from a family of teachers, hence my involvement with teaching. I just inherited the family business. And so anyway, I don't know if you guys know about Benny Hinn. You know Benny Hinn, he's this, I don't know where he's from, but he's from overseas somewhere. And he has this whole ministry about faith healing. Now, there's a lot of controversy around his thing. I'm not going to talk about that. But he was coming to our hometown to do one of his crusades. And someone asked me, don't you want to be in their choir? Because they were putting together this 1,000-person choir. So like, not really. I don't do choirs. But they're like, no, it's going to be fun. So like, okay. I didn't really stand my ground. I just, okay, let's go along. And it was pretty intense. We had training for months, and we had to know these songs off by heart. And I still have a lot of them in my head today. They're really, really fun songs. But pretty much the whole thing was we were prepared. So the moment we were there and he wanted to do a particular song or he wanted to worship, we were ready. We knew our stuff. And anyway, so he came and he had three different nights of when people were invited in and they got to worship. And up until this point in my life, so I'd grown up in, I would say, a Christian household, but I hadn't really experienced anything massive for myself. I don't even know if I was a believer at that stage. I think I was just there because, I don't know, it was fun to sing and I enjoy music. I can't even tell you why I was there, but I know God definitely put me there for a reason. So on the third night, so just so you know, they would start the message at 5 p.m. We would have been there 2 or 3 hours before, warming up and practicing. So you start at 5 p.m. and you're like the whole time in the background, you're singing songs and you're like doing your thing. That's not how I sing, by the way. And then it would normally go on until about midnight. So it was really intense. It was very long. And I remember on the last night, I mean, I'd seen amazing things. I saw people getting wheeled up on wheelchairs and then walking off the stage. There were some people who had diseases who were healed. There were all sorts of things going on. But for a lot of them, I don't know why, but I think I was still very much, like he could be pretending. Like I'm right there and I see it, but I was still like a little bit skeptical, but I was just happy to sing along. And anyway, on the last night, just before closing, I just remember Benny Hinn. So we had the stage. So he was here. He also wore a very cool robe, this giant white robe. I thought he was the Pope at first. And the whole choir was sort of spread out on this wing on either side. And I was somewhere over there. I'll demonstrate. So I was over here singing la 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 la. And all of a sudden he turns to this to the choir. So he turns around and he starts praying in tongues over the choir. And I kid you not, it was like a Mexican wave. I just see these people on the further side of the stage just start dropping da 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 da. And I was watching, what on earth is going on? Are the benches breaking? Like, what's going on over there? And as I'm watching, suddenly this wave hits me and I fall over. And I had no idea what the Holy Spirit was. No one had even explained it to me. I mean, I don't know why God chose to do it, but I fell and we were standing on scaffolding. So it wasn't a great place to fall down, but I fell down the scaffolding. Any builders? Scaffolding's got nice metal pieces sticking out. It's not a great place to fall. So I fell down and I was on the floor and all I can explain was that God was ministering to me. So God was talking to me. And it wasn't anything wow over the top. But I could just feel his presence. I just felt at peace. I wasn't running around shouting funny things. Not that God doesn't do that, but this is just what was happening in this moment. And when I got up, I realized that I was the only one lying down. But I wasn't embarrassed because when I saw what I'd fallen down, I didn't have any injuries. There was nothing wrong with me. But I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was there. I knew that this is real. This is not just a Bible story. God was there. So you can be skeptical. I mean, I could completely make that story up. I know it's my testimony, but you can be skeptical. And this is why the power of your own testimony is extremely important. Because I can share tons of stories. I'm going to share another incredible story in a moment that's from my own life. But it's so incredible for you, or important for you to look back on what God has done for you. I mean, the very fact that you are here this morning, there's purpose behind that. The very fact that you are alive today, there's purpose behind that. I mean, how many people passed away during COVID? And not to put any ugly, heavy things on that, but you are here and you've come through that because there's purpose, there's reason. I mean, that's a blessing of a testimony as it is. So I'm going to tell you another story. So I'm a teacher. We heard that. And I used to always have these devotionals with my classes, and I had this little like teenage devotional book. It had a little verse, and it would share a little story or something, and then we would pray, and then we'd start maths. Maths is very important. Must be first in the day. Rizal, you agree. I know that. So this one morning, all of a sudden, I feel God say to me, no, put that book away. Let me have my way. And I was like, I was at a government school, so already this is treading on thin ice. But I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? What do you want to do? And God wouldn't tell me anything. He was just quiet. Just, you don't talk. Don't talk. So I said to the class, okay, guys, we're doing something different today. I don't know what that is. I'm going to put on some worship music. And funny enough, the one song that I played was one that we were doing this morning, which I was very excited about as well. And we played this song, and I literally just said, close your eyes, listen to God. If you want to pray for someone, go pray for someone. We'd never done things like that before. But I said, let's just see what God wants to do. So I just walked around the class and carried on praying. And I'm going to jump a little bit because this is a long story. But by the end of that lesson, there were kids prophesying over each other from opposite sides of the class. There were kids praying for each other. I mean, we saw blisters. I mean, like a little blister. You want bigger things healed, but a blister. I saw blisters go shoops and close up in front of me. We saw the most amazing things. And it really opened my eyes. I mean, that's another one of my testimonies. The moment I know God or I feel challenged by the enemy, I immediately go back to them and go, hang on, I've seen what you've done, God. And I know that you will do that again and you can do bigger things. So it keeps me going, especially if I've distanced myself from God or from his word or whatever it is. We go through seasons. I remember my testimony and I remember what God did for me, and it gives me faith to keep going. So again, you can be skeptical. That's my testimony. Anyone can come up to me and say, that never happened. And I'll be like, hey, you weren't there. You didn't see it. So your testimony is extremely important. Extremely important. And again, I don't want to say that everyone has had a moment like that, because for a long time through my life, there wasn't anything like that. I would just say my testimony, I grew up in a nice house, and here I am. I'm okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it took me a while to understand God's favor in that. A lot of people don't have that background. A lot of people don't even have a background with God. And I saw it the one morning when I said to the class, guys, we're going to talk about David and Goliath. And there were kids in the class that had never heard that story before. And I was like, what? You always tell that to your kids. Everyone knows David and Goliath. How do you not know David and Goliath? And then I got more excited because I got to teach someone David and Goliath, whereas everyone knows the story of David and Goliath. Am I talking too fast? I think I'm too excited. So I think from there, things started erupting when I started trusting God with a lot more, when I knew he had blessed me with this incredible household. Then the next time he asked me to step out and do something, I was like, no, God, I know you're on my side. And then he asked me and gave me something bigger to step out with. And then the testimony started growing from there. And for him to trust me with a class, for something like that to happen, that he wouldn't have given that to me right off the bat when I was that kid lying on the floor at Benny Hinn. He trusted me with that much later on in life. Okay. I've gone way off my notes now. I'm sorry about that. Okay. So your story could also still be in the beginning. It could be small in your eyes, but trust me, as you walk with God, your story will progress and your testimony will grow. So in Psalm 78, there's a story that talks about the men from Ephraim. Do you guys know the story of the men from Ephraim? So in a nutshell, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in a nutshell, they were descendants of the Israelites who came out of Egypt, and they were actually quite infamous for being a very strong army. They had some of the best weapons, like the bows and arrows and swords, and they were very famous for being these mighty warriors, this mighty army. And all of a sudden, in Psalm 78, it speaks about how they went into battle, and they forgot about their testimony, and because of that, they lost. I mean, these were guys with blessing. But now because they forgot about their testimony, they lost the battle. So again, hold on to your testimony. Don't let the enemy rob you of what he can do just by reminding you about how good God is and how he's brought you through something before. He will do it again. Stand firm on what God has done for you. This also gives you courage. It gives you strength. And the next time there's something in front of you that looks a bit challenging, you've got that foundation to build up on. And I promise you, every single time something comes in front of you, it is going to be bigger, but the testimony is going to get better as well. So that's just how it works. And it is actually quite a blessing. I mean, if your biggest testimony was 300 years ago, that would be boring. I think it's quite exciting that God takes us through new things, or brings us out of new things, I should rather say. Okay, then I just want to read Revelation 12, verse 11. It says them, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In John 4:39, now this verse over here is foreign, following from the Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus went there, and you guys know that story as well. Do I get to tell you that story? Are you all okay? Okay, I'm too excited. So the main part we know about this story is Jesus comes to the well, there's this lady there, and he talks about her husbands, and then she understands that Jesus is the one that gives us living water, and she goes off. But in John 4:39, it actually goes on to say that many other Samaritans actually became believers because of her testimony. So she went back, and then she started telling them about what Jesus did, and then they became saved. And if you guys know anything about the Samaritans and the Jewish people, they really didn't like one another. So for her to go back as a Samaritan and to say, this Jewish guy told me something, I mean, that tells you how powerful a testimony is. It even broke racism back there. That's amazing. Are you guys all good? Are you sure? Okay. So I just said, yeah, their testimonies carried God's power, and your testimony has God's power. Your testimony can impact a lot more than you think. And what God has taught you or carried you through can impact others a lot more than you think. Sometimes you feel like your testimony isn't worth a lot, but you don't know what sort of seeds it could be planting just by sharing it or just being bold in it. You need to trust God with where he has placed you in this season and be faithful with what he has trusted you with or who he has trusted you with. So another incredible story Eric Johnson shared was how when he first went into ministry, he was in youth ministry. We are two youth ministry people. And he was standing in front of this room, probably about the same size as this, and he had prepared something and put his whole heart into it. And he was so excited about it. And man, lives are going to be changed. And while he was talking, there was a young guy sort of sitting three or four rows in front of him who was playing a cell phone game. So, you know, you hold your phone like that. Okay. So he's holding his phone and he's playing a game. And he's like, I don't know, driving the car, whatever game he was playing. But while he is doing that, so I mean, that's quite a distraction as it is and quite disheartening when you're trying to share something. But while he's doing that, not just him, there were about three or four people behind him who were watching his phone. And as he was like turning the car, they were like, and going along with it. And immediately Eric says like he felt disheartened because, you know, he was trying his best. But immediately God spoke to him and said, this is the flock that I've given you. Be faithful with it. How are you going to handle this situation? And if you guys know who Eric Johnson is, he eventually became one of the lead pastors at Bethel. He stepped down and he's doing something different now, but then God entrusted him with something bigger because he was faithful with what he had. So if you've got three distracted teens, be faithful with listening to God and doing what you need to do, and that will build your testimony. If it's one coworker, be faithful. If it's at one person, if it's one school friend, be faithful. A family member, be faithful. If you feel like God is asking you to pray, to encourage, whatever it is, be faithful. If it's a whole gang, be faithful. If it's a business team, be faithful. If God has placed you in front of a church on a Sunday, I must be careful how I handle this now, then I must be faithful. Be faithful and don't run ahead of yourself. Don't go, oh, when am I going to do this? When am I going to do that? Be faithful with God, with what God has given you now and with who God has placed in your life, and trust him, follow him, and listen to that still small voice. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Because, I mean, I can write books about if you want to guide someone out of this, these are the steps that you follow, but that doesn't apply to everyone's life. Your best counsel that you have is the Holy Spirit. You can be in a situation that is completely new and no one else can understand what it's like to be in that situation, but the Holy Spirit does, and he has infinite wisdom to guide you out of that as well. So, I mean, every single person seated here now, you have all been given assignments. You all have people in your circle that God has entrusted you with. Be faithful. Be faithful. Ask God, what am I supposed to do? And be faithful. And then you're going to see that testimony expand. So I think I'm talking so fast because I'm really excited. I said that already. That's how excited I am. I feel like God wants to do something quite different today. we normally have a church program. I think already the fact that we're doing one song and then talking, oh, this has broken the program. I don't know if God likes programs. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I think they're there for a reason. But God definitely loves his children. And if he needs to break the program for you to receive that, then absolutely that's what he will do. So before I carry on, can I quickly pray for us? Okay. Yes, Lord, we just come before you, and Father, we just pray that you have your way. Whatever distractions that are manifesting in this place, whatever burdens there are, we just speak against it in Jesus' name. Let all eyes just be focused on you, Lord. Let you be glorified. Not me, not the worship team, not anyone else, Lord, but you be glorified. Let you have your way this morning. Where the enemy is trying to steal because of relationships, where he's trying to steal and distract and turn people away from their callings, we rebuke him in Jesus' name. Father, you have your way this morning. I see anointing expanding. I see favor expanding. Don't give in. Jesus, you are bigger. You are bigger. Victory, victory, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I really do believe that today is meant to be a day of adding to your testimony. And I've seen the confirmation leading up to this moment. And I know I can see a lot of people who aren't always here, but you are here this morning. And I feel like God is definitely, you are called here today for a reason. God is going to add to your testimony today. I really believe that today is a day of revival. When we speak about revival, we speak about, oh yeah, things are going to line up. It's going to happen in a year time. Aren't you guys hungry for it now? Absolutely. We want to see hearts revived. It's happening. God is stirring. Have any of you felt like God has started speaking to you already about revival? Show your hands. There we go. There we go. That's a lot of you. All right. Ooh, Jesus. So I believe that there's something that we've been hungering for, and God wants to release his anointing right now. So a couple of weeks ago, and this is my last thing I'm going to talk about, and then I feel like God wants to do something completely different. A couple of weeks ago, God woke me up and gave me a couple of things that I needed to share. And I am nervous about this because anytime I've prayed for someone, it's sort of been in the moment God has showed me something for that person in that moment, not ahead of time. I mean, it's happened once or twice, but not in this particular way. So I'm very nervous. So please give me grace. I'm still a human. I definitely make mistakes. But I'm really praying that God will be glorified through this. And you guys know what the New Testament says. If there's a word, test it. Test it. Obviously, Jesus is not cursed in any way. You are encouraged, and scriptures aren't twisted in any way. That's how you test it. So before I go in and step into the deep end of the pool, I just want to thank Jesus, and I just want to say, if what I say doesn't sit well with you, please just ignore it. Just completely ignore it and ask God just to give you peace. Okay, I feel like what God wants to share is about encouragement and actually connecting with these children. And I actually, this morning, before we came here, we were at McDonald's. They've got a really nice play area there. There's a McDonald's advert there. I wonder if I get royalties for that. Anyway, so there's McDonald's, and we had some coffee, and the kids were playing. And I mean, before we started, they actually had a bit of an argument, and one of them was crying. Thank goodness for the Sunday school. Jesus, please bless those teachers over there. But while they were playing, there was this amazing moment where I was just watching them. And I mean, I wasn't engaging with them. I wasn't playing with them. They were just playing. And they were so excited because Ethan went down the slide by himself, and Micah was able to climb to the top by himself. And I was just sitting there grinning and watching them. And they didn't come to me and say, Daddy, I love you. I mean, they do say that, but in this moment, they didn't do that. I was just watching them, and I felt so much joy just watching my children be who they are. And I promise you, I am just a human. I am not God in any way. I don't have the type of compassion and love that he does. And I immediately felt, if I feel like that in this moment, how much does God feel when he watches us? He loves you. And he really just wants to connect with you. All right. Let me step out a bit. So again, I had a couple of weeks ago, this is what God asked me to write down. I'm going to share it now. If it's just me in the flesh, please ignore it. So the very first one that God put on my heart, and again, I've never been given names. I've never been given anything like this. The very first one I saw was, there were two names. The first one was Daryl, and the second one was Baritus. Daryl and Baritus. I don't know if there's anyone here who falls into that category. Is there a Baritus? We have a Baritus. Daryl? Is there a Daryl at all? Okay, where is it? Where are we talking? You were pointing? Okay. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. So, I feel like your job is being realigned completely. There's been a frustration on where you're working, and you needed to hear this for impartation. And something needs to be released to set a new course for your career and what you're going through that's going to revolutionize your industry. God is giving you blueprints on how to do things differently and to problem solve creatively. And then I saw numbers, but I don't know if these are any significant numbers, 390 or 7390, but I hope you are blessed with that. Cool. Right, then I saw someone else who was in the medical field, but particularly someone who either has started fresh in the medical field or they've moved into a new like practice. It was someone that was quite new at what they were doing specifically in the medical field, if there's anyone that fits into that category. Okay. So with this, I felt like you were quite, obviously you were new at what you were doing. Perhaps you were a student. But where you had started in this hospital or at this practice, you didn't feel like you belonged there. There was something different between you and the people who you were that you were working with. You didn't fit in with your colleagues, the way that they spoke, the way they did things. You didn't feel like you were there and where you needed to be. But God has given you more insight and medical ingenuity that is going to bless you. He has you thinking differently for a reason, and you are going to take things further. I definitely saw God giving you more responsibility, and in his timing, it's going to expand and grow. And then I was told to say, you have your anointing now. Okay. Right, this next one's quite a hard one. Is there a couple here who had three children and one of those children passed away? So there were three children and one of them passed away. Well, I just wanted to tell you, that you have been honorable in trusting God with that. And when questions come up about why has this happened, I saw God restoring things to you. I saw massive spiritual increase and discernment into his spirit guiding you and operating in you. I saw the gift of prophecy, which someone has spoken over you before, but the time wasn't right, but it is now. You also have your anointing now. And then I just have one more for the church, if that's okay. I feel like God wants us this morning to step out and be bold. We can't sit back and rely on other people to run the show. There could be someone who God needs you to go and pray for that person. So we're going to carry on going into the rest of worship now as the worship team comes up. And I want to encourage you guys to move forward. Come forward. Let's worship right here. And if you feel God has asked you to pray for someone, be bold. Step out. Go and pray for that person. Even if God just says, Jesus bless you, amen. Be bold. Step out in faith and add more to your testimony. This is the time of revival. And we know that revival in the Bible starts with me. It starts with us as the individuals. So if you want to see revival, you need to step out. Not sit back. Let's step out. Let's be obedient. If you want prayer, please come forward. God is going to stir something up really big this morning. If you want someone to minister to you, please come forward. If you want to minister to someone else, please do it. Let's be bold. Let's step out. Amen? All right, let's stand.